unemployable all over again. Blakely sprawled over my bed, swiping her iPad. I needed to tell her about the incident with Josh, but I was too nervous. I considered putting it in a note, an email, anything but face-to-face. "I'm not saying I mind getting the night off," she said, "but this sucks. Are you on Tinder again? See this guy here?" She flipped the screen so I could see a guy holding his phone up to a mirror. "I don't understand the picture in the bathroom mirror thing. Don't these people have friends?" "Here's what he wrote me. Hey, you're pretty hot. You look like that nanny that slept with Josh Trudeau, LOL. Swipe left on him, or right, whatever. I pulled a simple black dress out of the closet and threw it on the bed. "Why didn't I know he was a player?" "Because you didn't know, and you respected him enough to keep it a secret, so none of us warned you." "Wrong. Because my mother supported me by sleeping with married men, so I have it in my head that it's normal, which it's not. Ever." She knocked her head with her knuckle as if she could tap the right way of thinking into it. I got my shoes out. Black, low heel, unobtrusive. Easy to run after a kid from the dressing rooms. It was the perfect moment to tell her, but I didn't. "Look." She tapped on the screen and showed it to me again. I recognized her headshot, but she looked off. "Higher cheekbones. A little poof in the lips. Brown contacts." "What happened to the huge nose?" "I found out that's harder than making it smaller." I took a deep breath and spit it out. "He made a play for me," I said. "At the party yesterday, in the side drive. I'm sorry." She fell back on the mattress and covered her face with my pillow.
"I'm so ashamed."
Her voice was muffled. "Don't be. I get it. He's not my thing, but I get it." She threw the pillow at me. I caught it. "Stop saying that. If you forgive me, I have to forgive my mother, which I don't." "Brad says Josh is hot for women who take care of kids." I tossed the pillow on the bed. "He's a dick. He should get that hard on for his wife." Blakely shot up to a sitting position. "You told Brad?" "He saw it." I snapped the dress up. "Josh is an asshole, end of."
"Wait, he didn't fire you?"
"No, he got, what was the word? It wasn't simply angry. Protective." I realized I was staring into the middle distance with the dress draped over my arm, remembering my boss with fire in his eyes. Like he wanted to rip Josh Trudeau's face off with his bare hands. Over me. Me. I was important.
"And?"
Blakely asked. "And I liked it, which is wrong. Everything about how it felt is wrong."
"And what? And are you all right?"
Blakely knew how wrong it was. She'd been dragged through the mud for months.
"I'm fine," I said, looking at my watch. "If you could get Nicole ready, I think we're leaving at 7.
She bounced up.
"Yes, okay. Man, I like our boss."
She kissed me on the cheek and dashed to the front house to get Nicole ready. I had to admit, I liked our boss too. Shit. I didn't move for too long. I didn't even know what I was staring at. The way he'd protected me, left those two girls behind, slung his daughter over his shoulder, and took charge. I could see him as something more, something real and stable. All of it sent warmth from my heart to the fold between my legs. The twisted logic of dreams had clicked together unrelated ideas. Sex, Brad Sinclair, security, stability. In the real world, nothing said instability like Brad Sinclair. He and security didn't occupy the same room comfortably. He was less stable than my parents. More likely to move, less emotionally accessible. But in dreamland, when I was bent over the pool table working up to an orgasm so strong I woke up, all those puzzle pieces clicked together and made perfect sense. In the real world, I could dismiss dream logic. Until he nearly broke Josh Trudeau's face. Then it came together. It became real, and it was more arousing than just about anything I'd ever felt.
"You've lost your mind."
Truly, I had.
I peeled off my jeans and shirt and headed for the shower, arguing that I needed one anyway. Then arguing that I only had to soap up, rinse off, and get out fast. Then that I wouldn't be able to function with a constant throb between my legs. Then that I should take the shower cold. Nah, I put the temperature all the way up. I wanted to feel every drop. I got in and was engulfed in the water's soothing heat. I wanted a real home, a stable person to spend my life with, and they were in short supply. I hadn't given up. I'd just stopped looking for a man. In my fantasy, he said, "Spread your legs, baby. I'm going to lick you." Pretending he was someone completely different when he bent down and put his face between my legs. When I put my hands on my body, I felt his hands. When I touched my nipples, I did it the way I thought he'd do it, the way I wanted him to. Take me, take me, take me. I wasn't supposed to think of Brad Sinclair. I'd had an excuse that morning. I was half asleep and coming off a dream. In the shower, I made that tiny tiled room a safe place where it was acceptable to put one hand on the wall, one hand between my legs, and tease my clit until I thought I'd explode. Just this one time. Make it last. "Are you close? I'm going to come in you." In that voice, that magic voice, not too high or low, the rhythms of it. He'd spread my legs while his hips thrust, looking down at me, his eyes on me while he ripped me apart with his dick, fast, then slow, pushing in all the way to the root. He'd tell me not to come. He'd ask me to wait for him. He'd demand I wait for him. I slowed the motions of my fingers as I got closer, imagining his orgasm, his gasp, his groan, losing control because of me. That did it. I came so hard I had to lean on the wall.
Chapter 17. Brad. My father made fun of me when I bought my first tux. Called me a fancy ass. "I think you need an update come fall," Paula said, straightening my tie. "I'll call Max and have him come for a fitting." They all look the same. I stood in front of the mirror. I looked like a clown. I yanked the tie off. Nicole appeared in the doorway.
"Can I wear the sparkle toe sneakers?"
"Sure," she called down the hall.
"Daddy said yes."
Blakely stepped into the frame and addressed me.
"They won't fit in at a black tie event," she said, "but your call."
"Whatever she wants," I said. "I don't care what people think." Paula put her hands on her hips.
"Stars, you're bringing the bombshell?"
she asked. The nickname was funny the first 15 times. "My daughter?" "Yeah."
"Brad, honey, no one's bringing their kids to this. Now I'm not trying to tell you how to be the father."
"Hell, you aren't."
"Bring her to the, what's it called? The associated event."
"She's coming. Let them get their pictures. I want to hang out with her, and if I can't get downtime to do it, she can come to work with me." Paula made the face where she tightened her lips and raised her eyebrows. Disapproval. She was the gauge for when I went over the line, but ever since Nicole, the dial on my barometer had changed. And I was in charge. No one ever told my father how to raise us. "I'm going. I'm taking Nicole. And you know what else?" I didn't wait for an answer. I leaned out the door and called down the hall. "Blakely?" her disembodied voice called back.
"Yeah?"
"Get dressed to come with us."
"What?"
I didn't repeat, but turned to Paula. "I don't care if people talk. My daughter can wear whatever she wants. This is my house. This is my business. I'll tell Kara to stay home." I left because I didn't want Paula to talk sense into me. Everyone in the business could kiss my ass. I went to the pool house with all the righteous anger of a man doing what he wanted without asking permission for a damn thing. A neighborhood where you didn't have to lock the doors was a cliche. Small town nostalgia. Small towns sucked. You couldn't dream in a small town. But the unlocked door thing was real. I never knocked to go anywhere. I walked in and out of every house on my street because that was what we did. The pool house was on my property. I owned it. Sure, it was a private space, but I was a product of my childhood. The glass doors in the back were wide open, so I just went in to tell Kara she had the night off. When I heard the shower running, I should have left, obviously. But I went into her room. Peeked. I was making sure it was the shower, not just the faucet. Yes, that was it. If it was a faucet, I could go in and talk to her. So I was checking. Her jeans were stretched over the floor in the shape of the letter W, and the water sound was definitely coming from the shower. A gentleman would leave. But I hadn't been a gentleman since I crossed into L.A. County in my 2003 Chevy Cavalier. Nope. I was ruled by my career and my dick. Right then, my dick was doing the decision-making, and the door to the bathroom was ajar, and the door to the shower was glass. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. The water and steam obscured my view from full porn site clarity, but that made the scene even sexier. If that was possible. She had one hand on the wall in front of her and the other, God help me, between her legs. I could see the shape of her tits and her ass sticking up, head thrown back, ass rotating, skin slick and shiny. My dick was at full attention. I could smell her soap and hear her just over the sound of the water. I stepped close to the door without realizing I'd done it. That was the dick doing the thinking. She groaned. I saw her mouth open, a dark oval behind the wet glass. I was really going to have to go jerk off immediately. Then she came, bending the arm that was on the wall until she was pressed against it. A long groan bounced off the tiles. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I wanted to see her come for me. Like that. For me. Yeah. I wanted to fuck her blind. Fuck her open. The dick told me to go into the shower and take her. The dick hadn't been refused in years. The dick got what it wanted, and right then it wanted Cara Dumont so bad I thought the blood rushing to it would break it. I had a moment of sense, a moment where I could have turned around and waited in the living room, or outside, or on Mars. And that sense wasn't overwhelmed by the dick. Nope, I was going to get in my rocket ship and go to fucking Mars, but probably the living room. I was going to leave. But the shower door clicked open. And my brain felt all the shame you'd expect, but the dick? The dick just saw her soaped-up tits and the length of her slick thighs. Did I mention I left my jacket in the main house? I had nothing to hide the 8-inch boner pressing against my leg.
Chapter 18. Cara. I was recovering from my orgasm when I realized I needed shampoo, and it was under the sink. I was going to be late if I didn't snap to it, so I opened the door without taking another breath, and there he was. I didn't scream because I sucked in air so fast.
Shit,
he cried, putting his hand over his eyes like a kid in a scary movie. Oh my God, he had a tent in his pants. Not a tent, a tour bus. What the hell? I was too stunned to close the shower door. It was glass, so what was the point? I covered myself, one arm barely covering my breasts and the other the triangle between my legs.
I'm sorry. I was just...
He took one hand off his eyes to point over there, wherever that was. Are you serious? Nicole, I was going to... Get out! I took my arm off my chest and reached out to slam the bathroom door, but even with him out of my sight, I felt him. His eyes, how they'd gone from my body and shot up to my face before he covered them. My clothes were on the other side of the door. I was embarrassed and angry. I didn't want to think about what he'd seen me doing. How about that boner? I was also tingling from the prospect of him seeing me with my hand between my legs. Everything about this was uncomfortable and weird and arousing. I was shaking as I put the towel around me. To hell with it. I tucked the edge of the towel under my arm and walked out, leaving water footprints behind me. He was in the living room, sitting on the couch with his legs crossed.
I didn't see anything, he said, hands up.
Don't you knock? He lodged his tongue in his cheek and looked away.
Look, I'm sorry, he said. But like I said, I didn't see anything.
A second little voice told me to mention the inhuman size of his erection. That would include me admitting I was looking at his crotch, which reminded me that he was starring in my fantasy. So voice number two told me to shut the hell up. Don't acknowledge it. Don't even think about it. The state of his penis was an inappropriate topic of conversation. You always get hard when you don't see anything?
So much for voice number two. He looked me right in the eye, leveling his gaze in utter seriousness.
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about, miss.
Now it looked like I was suffering from wishful thinking. He was infuriating.
You're a dick.
I said it with enough venom to kill an elephant. He looked at his watch.
I came to tell you Blakely's coming tonight. You have the night off.
Well played, Mr. Sinclair. I shut the bedroom door so I could get dressed without his eyes working me over.
I'm sorry,
he said from the other side of the door. I didn't answer. Eventually, he left. Chapter 19. Kara. You should quit. I was still on severance from the Haywoods. Money wasn't the issue. This was borderline harassment. I lay on my bed in the dark, looking up at the ceiling. You should quit and sue him. Blakely had come back at 9:45 and gone right back out, leaving Nicole's monitor with me. Brad had stayed at the event. I didn't tell her about the shower. I wasn't afraid, but I didn't want her to think badly of him. I didn't know why it mattered to me. Maybe I didn't want her to think he was another Josh Trudeau. Really, what did I want out of him? I must have fallen asleep at one point, because I had another Brad dream. I had my hands on the shower wall and he was fucking me from behind. Get it deep. Harder. Give it to me. There were pool balls on the floor, and I tried not to step on them, because they'd roll under my feet and I'd fall, but the closer I got to orgasm, the harder it was. He tapped on the shower glass in my dream, loud enough to wake me up. The feeling of his shaft between my legs disappeared, and the sound of rain and tapping continued.
Kara, wake up!
His voice far away, but real. Not dream real, but real real. I bolted to sitting. He was tapping on my bedroom window.
I'm knocking.
It was 2:17 in the morning. The rain was the sound of the sprinklers. Jesus Christ! I shook the sleep away. Was I dressed? Yes. Sweatpants and black t-shirt. I got out of bed and slapped the window open. He practically fell through it. I swallowed a laugh. He was adorable in his wet tuxedo and red eyes.
I am so sorry,
he slurred, reaching his whole arm in the window, finger pointing aimlessly. He put his hand on his chest.
I am an asshole. I should have knocked. And I should not have enjoyed the view so long. I am a...
He swayed, gripped the windowsill.
I am a pig.
You're drunk.
I'm sorry, sober, too.
Drunk apology accepted. I'll accept your sober apology in the morning.
Okay. I like you. I don't want you to be mad at me. You should be mad at me, but I don't want you to be. I want you to like me.
Go to bed. He leaned back out the window, paused.
Do you like me?
Against my better judgment, I do.
Okay.
He was so drunk he could barely stand. Please go to bed.
Okay. I will apologize tomorrow, and the next day, and...
He swayed.
And the next day. I wasn't raised like that.
Go to bed. He gave me a salute and walked right through a sprinkler toward the front house. I closed the window. This job was the worst I ever had. I really should quit. But I couldn't. I didn't know if it was Nicole, or Blakely, or Brad that kept me there, but I felt a pull to see it through, or at the very least, decide later. I went to the bathroom, did my business without turning the light on, and walked back to the bedroom. I could hear the sprinklers, and the motion sensor light was still on. I reached for the drapes to shut out the light. Brad was lying in the grass, face down, arms and legs in a big X, getting sprinkled on. I could leave him out there. The sprinklers turned off. I could. He deserved it. But I couldn't. I put on sneakers and a hoodie and went outside. He was face first in a mud puddle. Brad? He didn't move. I'd moved big drunk men before. In Scotland, there had been a boy who had no idea when to stop drinking. Then in college, more than one boy, more than one time. I pulled his arm until he was on his back, then pulled both wrists and pulled forward. If I'm making it sound easy, it wasn't. I slipped and fell in wet grass and grunted like a tennis player, but I got him to sitting. Half his gorgeous face was dotted with mud. Brad? No answer. I slapped him. Nothing. Slapped again, harder. He groaned. Then I pulled my arm back and really hauled off and whacked him. Ow. You have to wake up. I can't carry you. That hurt. You deserve it. I crouched, getting my shoulder under his arm. Okay, I'm going to count to three. On three, stand up.
Do you know you're beautiful?
One.
And you smell like a fruit cup.
Two. He looked at me, the weight of his head tilting his face at an angle to mine.
You are the queen of the house.
Three. We lurched up, took a step left, adjusted, stood steady.
Can I just sleep here?
No. Nicole isn't going to find your drunk ass on the lawn in the morning.
Shit.
Despite his alcohol saturation, that word held a ton of meaning. I forgot I had to think about my daughter. I didn't think about her finding me. I'm going to have to change. No one should count on the authenticity of drunken emotion, yet there was something so deep about the tone of that word. Even if he didn't remember how he uttered it the next morning, there was something inside him that knew he had to fix this. Lean on me, I said. We took one step forward, then two. I held his wrist with one hand and his waist with the other. The front of his tuxedo shirt was brown with mud. I got wet wherever his clothes touched me.
Thank you, he said when he stumbled.
No problem. Step up here. He stepped up to the pool patio.
You hurt my feelings,
he said without hurt in his voice, as if he was just stating a fact.
When you called me a dick.
I'm not sorry.
I don't blame you. Do you have fantasies ever?
He ran the question into the statement as if they made sense together. Like about what? I asked. His arm around me, his breath soft in my ear, even his dependence was kind of a fantasy.
You know what bothers me about fantasies?
Watch this chair here. Whoa! I pulled him left, narrowly missing tripping over a lounger.
You never know if you're getting it right, he said.
I turned to him and found his eyes taking up my entire field of vision and my nose 2 inches from his. What do you mean? Up ahead, the screen door was wide open. He must have come out that way.
Like when I fantasize about fucking you.
We almost tripped on the entrance. I swallowed my lungs, stomach, and heart in one gulp. He was drunk. He didn't mean it. He never thought about fucking me. Not Brad Sinclair. And he was my boss. Step up, I said, turning back. My face burned red hot. He stepped up. We were in the back room. I was never going to get him up the stairs to his room, so I pivoted toward the guest room.
Do you come with a dick?
He slurred, but I wasn't mistaking the words or meaning.
Just a dick? Or do you need a little help?
Brad, really?
I have this one fantasy where you come without help, and one where I touch you.
This is totally inappropriate. I kicked open the guest room door.
I want to know which one's right. Then I won't ask again. And what do you call your, you know, girl parts?
I ducked and let his weight drop. He fell to a sitting position, soaked clothes sticking to his beautiful body, white shirt exposing his nipples and the hair on his chest, eyes a third lower, seriously asking me what term I used for my genitalia.
I'm assuming you talk dirty, he said. I shouldn't assume, but it's my fantasy and I'm keeping it.
A drop of water fell from his cuff onto the wool carpet. The jacket has to come off. He nodded and went for his lapel, but even that messed with his balance and he nearly tipped over. I grabbed him and pulled him up.
You know the best part of them, he said.
I tugged his cuff so he could get his arm out.
The part where I spread your legs.
I sucked in a breath. My nervous system fired, dropping all sensation and urgency to my core. I had to pause to breathe before I pulled the other cuff.
I'm looking in your eyes and you say yes,
he continued.
You bend your knees.
I tossed the jacket over a chair.
And I...
He put the backs of his hands together and moved them apart.
God.
I didn't have to take his shirt off. Didn't even have to stay in the room with him. I could have left. But maybe this was a little bit of my fantasy, too. Maybe his attention was something I craved, even if he wasn't supposed to be drunk or muddied. He looked concerned for a second.
Do you shave? Landing strip? I don't care, but I want to get it right.
I undid the top button and took the studs out of the front of his shirt. I had to kneel to get to the bottom buttons.
Tell me, he said.
I got to the last button. His head tilted down to me, and I looked up at him.
Just tell me that.
I reached for his cufflinks, but he pulled his arm back and did it himself.
My fantasy is about you,
he pointed to me.
If I don't know this stuff, it's about some random woman.
He dropped the cufflinks on the carpet. How I manage my hair depends on my mood, I said, grabbing his cuffs. I pulled his wet shirt off and put it over the jacket. I'm not attached to any one way of doing it. I really hope you forget this tomorrow.
I still have to memorize the third act, he said. I bet you taste like strawberries.
I pushed him back, and he fell like a sack of potatoes, arms out, bare chest breathtaking in the moonlight. I wanted to put my hands on it, claw at the skin, feel the nipples get hard under my fingers, talk filth until he got hard. I got back on my knees and took his shoes off.
Thank you for taking care of my daughter,
he said as I picked his legs up by the ankles and swung them around until he was straight on the bed. Only a guy mid-blackout could go from subject to subject like that. It meant he was forgetting things as soon as they were happening. I talk during, I said matter-of-factly as I put the blanket over him, and dirty, and dick. And even though it's inappropriate and against all the rules, I'd love for you to bury yours in me so hard it hurts. I dream about you fucking me like an animal 3 nights a week, and the other 4 you fuck me like you own me. I patted the blanket.
I'll never work again,
he mumbled, half inside his drunken dream world. He couldn't have been talking about burying his dick in me.
No one will want me if I don't show up. Everything will be gone. All sad faces.
Good night, he murmured a response. I kissed him on the forehead. When I came back to put a glass of water and aspirin on the night table, he was passed out. Chapter 20. Kara. I got up early and went to the gym. I ran, climbed, did sit-ups and a spin class, but nothing worked Brad's words out of my mind. He fantasized about me. That was the bottom line. I imagined his voice telling me what he wanted to do to me, and replayed it over and over while I peddled myself into a mass of sweat and burning muscles. On the screens above, DMZ flashed Brad on the red carpet with Nicole in his arms. They were adorable, and Nicole hadn't been out that late. Blakely wasn't in the photos. I would have called the entire evening a success if he hadn't shown up at my window in a wet tuxedo. It was Blakely's shift until after dinner. When I got back from the gym, Brad was working with Paula by the pool, doing whatever the thing was that they did. Nicole was underfoot with her toys. The space under the table was her own unique world. The ponies lay among Brad and Paula's feet. Nicole made one of the ponies kick a ball, and it rolled out of the protection of the table. She went to get it. In the meantime, with the girl's back turned and her father reciting a line, Paula lifted her leg and quietly crunched the Lego horse stable under her heel, dislodging the lilac plush pony that lived there. With a flick of her foot, she brushed it toward the wet drain on the other side of the table. When Nicole got back, she gasped in horror. She'd spent a ton of time on that stable.
Hush, her father said, oblivious.
Nicole had been well trained in hushing. From her days in the coffee shop cabinet, when her mother couldn't get a sitter, she knew she had to stay quiet when a parent was working, so she did.
I stayed quiet, too, for now.
When I got to the pool house, Blakely was curled up on the couch with an iPad. Her hair was cut short and dark brunette.
Your hair, I said. Like it? I look different, don't I? Would you recognize me?
Yes. And Paula's a bitch, I said without preamble.
You mean Miss Mint Julep, Lady Girl Fiddle-Dee-Dee? Yeah, screw her. Every time Brad wants his daughter around, she looks at me as if it's my fault I have an hour off.
How was last night? I asked.
Boring. I was with her for an hour. Then I stayed in the limo for the next 2 hours, waiting for him to bring her back out.
Was she scared of the cameras?
A little, not too bad.
She looked up at the clock.
I have to bring her to gymnastics at 2. I'm testing the hair. See if the guy at the desk thinks I'm a stranger.
We were interrupted by a knock on the front door.
When you get back, we'll switch, I said, opening the door.
Brad was on the other side in aviators and a white t-shirt. The previous day came back in a flood of skin-tingling hormones. The shower, the fantasies, walking with his arm on my shoulder, me undressing him.
I'm going to take Nicole, he said without a greeting, then pointed to me. You should come.
It was Blakely's shift, but she just shrugged.
Okay, I said. Let me get my shoes on.
Chapter 21. Kara. Celebrities living in Los Angeles drive more often than you think, and do everything else less than you think. Driving is an entitlement. It means you have control. And Brad, I didn't see anything, Sinclair, was trying to prove he was in control. Nicole sat in the back seat, humming. She had a book on her lap, and her leotard under her summer dress. Brad leaned on the wheel of the Range Rover, arms toned and tan, sunglasses glinting, looking disaffected and in charge. It was hot, but for my part he needed to cover himself all the time, every second of the day, with a tarp, because the night before came back to me full force. Starting with the dream of him in the shower, the imagined feeling of his skin against mine, the erection on my soft bottom, his lips on the back of my neck, all the way up to his very real questions about how I like to fuck.
Yesterday,
I started but couldn't finish. I knew what I wanted to say, but the thought of him watching me froze my tongue.
You know, the steam coming out of that bathroom, I thought the place was on fire.
Jefferson Avenue at midday was clear, and we were going to be at the gym in 10 minutes.
Mr. Sinclair.
Really?
Oh, it's Mr. Sinclair now? Listen, I didn't see anything, ma'am.
I need you to really not just come in the back house again, I said. Where I'm from, when you come to someone's house, you knock. You put your fingers together in a fist, and—
Where I'm from, he started with full good old boy accent. We don't leave the doors unlocked unless we want people running through.
His tinge of Arkansas accent implied a superior upbringing with traditions buffed with time.
Knock anyway. Believe me,
he said, flipping his blinker and changing lanes for no apparent reason.
I'm never going in that house again without an engraved invitation.
Okay, good. No more peeking.
So, what do you remember? I wasn't raised like that.
You keep saying that.
When did I say that?
He'd said it last night, at my window, but if he didn't remember, I didn't want to remind him. We'd crossed a line. If he blacked out, then what had happened the night before was mine and mine alone. If he remembered, then between the shower and the fantasies, I'd have to resign.
Some interview, I think. Did you have fun last night?
He smiled and made a psst sound.
Sure. After I sent Nicole home, I had a few drinks and woke up in the guest room.
Did he remember the water and aspirin? Did he assume Paula had left it? Or was it just an empty glass when he woke?
Daddy told jokes the whole time,
Nicole chimed in. We both turned. She bounced her little light-up toes. Like, ask me if I'm a tree. I obeyed, reminding myself to keep it clean in the front seat. Are you a tree? No, she laughed. What's brown and sticky?
I don't know.
She and Brad answered together.
A stick!
Nicole was beside herself with laughter.
Where are you from, anyway?
Brad asked me. Everywhere. Nowhere.
You trying to get mysterious with me?
I grew up on Air Force bases, diplomat housing, that kind of thing. There really is no where I'm from, the gates are locked and the doors are open, because it changed all the time. But mostly we were behind big walls with guards. I needed an escort in some places. Pakistan. That was crazy. I shook my head and looked out the window.
How crazy? You get kidnapped?
No. I wore a headscarf whenever we left the base because I wanted to fit in. There was no lycée, so I didn't go to school. I had this nowhere feeling. I guess that doesn't sound very crazy.
How old were you?
12. I bet you were doing something completely different when you were 12. He laughed to himself.
Shit. Yeah. That was my first summer working at the lumberyard. Hot as heck. The sawdust stuck to me everywhere. Every night I had it in my butt crack.
I laughed, but it was only to cover up the fact that I was envisioning his gorgeous ass filled with sawdust. Nicole had her own reasons for cracking up.
Daddy said butt again.
Again, I said. Brad shrugged, and Nicole just kept laughing. At least they were getting along. He pulled into the lot and put the car in park. I'll get her, I said, opening the door. You lay low before the pops find you.
Kara, he said,
taking his sunglasses off. Yeah?
It won't happen again.
The way he looked at me, he meant it. Every word came from a deep well of sincerity and regret. I know, I said, dealing with my own well of regret.
Chapter 22. Brad. Kara got out and unbuckled Nicole. I twisted around to look at her. She was freaking cute when she smiled. If I could harvest those dimples and sell them on the open market, I'd be richer than I already was. Turn around, she said. I need to fix this hair. Who made this braid?
Daddy!
It was perfect when we left, I defended myself from the front seat. Kara rearranged Nicole's stray brown strands and dangling bobby pins into a tight ponytail.
I'm going to do the balance beam all by myself, Nicole said, patting her hair to make sure it was flat. I won't even be scared.
A bobby pin popped off. Kara leaned over to get it. I could see down her shirt, and the way her naked body looked in the shower came back to me. I turned around to face the front.
Hop down, Kara said.
Nicole jumped to the ground and pushed the door closed with both hands. I had to do everything herself. Was the self-sufficiency from my family or Brenda's? I didn't know. But when my daughter turned and waved at me, I could put money on where she got the smile. I hadn't even known Brenda, really. She'd had a nice smile. The kind of smile you wanted to look at all the time because it was so warm. When customers came into the store, the girls came to me and everyone else went to Brenda. Everything about her had been inviting, but the smile was more than all that put together. See? You do remember her. I did. Not much more than the smile came to me, though. I didn't even remember our night together. Or nights. There may have been more than one. She was from a long time ago, when I needed a comforting smile. I watched Kara's ass sway in her jeans as she went toward the double glass doors with Nicole's hand in hers. She was something. Not my type. Too serious. Too bossy. She was an art film that had a SAG waiver. I liked big summer tentpole girls. Cleaned up and produced, bigger than life. I could work them quick and move to the next without ever thinking about it again. But that shower scene. Open mouth when she came. I shouldn't have seen it, but I did. I walked right into it. I'd had a good 30 seconds where I could have turned around and gone into the other room, but I was turned on like a 13-year-old. What kind of man stays and watches? It was a shit time to assess my life, but it wasn't like I had much of a choice. I'd gotten drunk the night before, but the escape had been short and painful. I was a single dad. The papers had already told everyone that. Ken made sure he used the phrase whenever he opened his mouth. I hired people to help. I painted a room in my house pink, but the words single dad still sounded like I was talking about a character I was playing. Like when the hosts on the morning show say, you're a single dad when the spaceships land on Los Angeles. How did you prepare for the part? And I say, well, Tammy or Joan or Christy or whatever, I just got myself this really cute kid. You should meet her. She's the bee's knees and my parents love her. This wasn't a part I was playing, but I couldn't shake feeling like it was all fake. Kara held the door open for Nicole. My daughter deserved better, but she didn't have better. She had me. Chapter 23, Brad. Arnie liked having a cigarette in his mouth when he shot pool, even though the ashtray was right fucking there. I brought a few guys from Arkansas with me. They'd all found their own life or found their way home eventually. Not Arnie. Arnie was kind of an asshole, and by kind of, I mean completely. My buddy Michael wondered why I kept them around. He said stupid shit, had a sense of entitlement that put people off, zero work ethic, and a very small constellation of talents. His gold chain was so heavy it made creases in the skin of his neck, and he wore his sunglasses inside because he'd spent $200 on them. He was the asshole who had nowhere to go. No one else wanted to be his friend. I felt sorry for him. In fifth grade, he'd given Ray Borden a shiner for calling me a pansy. In eighth grade, he didn't tell Marianne Jonas that I was the one throwing pebbles at her window that certain night, even though her dad really held his feet to the fire. He let me copy his homework most days and corrected the spelling on my essays, never asking for a thing in return. The list went on. So maybe he wasn't a complete asshole. Maybe he just had a narrow worldview and no filter. He was great at pool, though. Geometry hadn't been his thing in 10th grade, but somehow it came together for him when he shot nine ball. He shifted a little, lining up, the gold rope curving along the edge of the queue.
The nanny's on her way out, right?
He asked, threading the queue through his fingers. I was sure he had the whole table figured out already.
Then I can go for it, right?
He looked at me over the top edge of his blue wraparounds.
We'll see. We will.
He took his shot, sinking the eight off the one. We'd agreed on a month, and time was up. It was going to be me, Blakely, and Nicole soon enough. Plus some mystery nanny the agency was searching for. I needed one who could travel. My keeper, I said, chalking my stick. If I do, you're sidelined indefinitely. I said it as if it was an option, but Kara had been clear she wanted to move on.
Come on, man.
Arnie circled the table, eyes on the ball, still in sunglasses and with cigarette.
If you're not going to tap that body, at least let me do it.
No, and no. He pulled his smoke from his lips and wedged it between two fingers he held up for me.
Just twice. I want to see how those tits shake when she's taking it from behind.
Shut the fuck up, Arnie.
Then I want to see your face with my dick in it.
When I was 12, Grady Markham had made a crack about my sister's face. Something about how it would look with his knees on each side of it. I'd been deeply offended. That's what I told the sheriff when he was in the principal's office. Deeply offended, which was Southern for so fucking mad I had no problem breaking a soda bottle on the table and slicing Grady's cheek open. That was my sister. He was insulting my family. Arnie saying shit about Kara wasn't anything like that because she wasn't family. No, my feelings weren't brotherly, but the rage was the same. Arnie put all the things I'd thought about Kara in the most disgusting and disgraceful words possible, which made me disgraceful. And this was the woman who took care of my daughter. So it was family, but it wasn't. But it was all confused, and I was mad as fuck. My hand, my left hand, oddly, considering I was right-handed, swiped at Arnie's blue wraparounds. They went flying, exposing Arnie's fox-colored eyes and thin eyelashes.
Fuck, dude?
I mean it. That's my daughter's nanny. What does that even mean? Fuck that. I didn't know what that meant, and it didn't matter. I only had a debt to white-hot rage. I put my finger in his face. Any single human being who takes care of my daughter is off limits for tit-shaking and face-fucking. Nice going, using Nicole like that. Arnie put his hands up like some wronged party, a guy who'd stepped into a pile of shit from someone else's dog. Maybe he had. Maybe what I felt had nothing to do with him.
You know what? He said. You want me to keep it in my pants, hire an ugly one, yo. Don't be dangling some bombshell bitch in my face and say I can't even talk about touching it.
It? You forget where you're from? I admit I carved off a little of my voice coaching to make the point. No Redfield boy talks like that. Your mother didn't raise you to call a lady it. Don't you tell me about home. When was the last time you went home? Buddy redid the bar and you didn't even go see it. You have nieces and nephews telling all their friends Uncle Brad's famous, and I bet you don't even know what they look like. I bring them presents when I go. No. He wagged his finger at me. Don't you tell me shit. I love this life as much as you, and I still make it back home. You know how that hit? It hit below the belt, right where Faye Sweeney kicked me in fifth grade and I passed out. Arnie wasn't Faye, though. She sent me a handwritten note apologizing. Arnie went right back in. Buddy fixed Margie up. Slap. Sunk the six. Your nephew's graduating high school. He can act, you know. Biggest talent in Redfield since you. Slap. Sunk the one off the seven. And how about taking your daughter around? You know what, you fuck? You sit around here telling me what to do? Want to live my life? I have a 300-page script to memorize and a fucking kid. Sure, let me take a vacation in Arkansas. Great idea! Arnie threw his hands up. Fuck this shit! He took a step away from me and swooped up his glasses, then pointed them at me like some community college professor. I'm your friend. Until you die, I'm your friend. With or without the house. I don't like outsiders, and I like the life here. But you gotta take care of what's yours. Fuck him. I couldn't get home. I didn't have long before I was shooting on location in Asia, and you don't just leave a movie in pre-production. It wasn't the money. Not my money, at least. Hundreds of people had planned the shoot, and without the lead actor, no one had jobs. I wondered if I had time to talk my nephew out of acting. Did I have time to go back? If push came to shove, could I visit? Bring Kara and Nicole? I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to see the street I grew up on because it was still fucked up. My parents wouldn't move. Fixing up their house and my sisters just made them nice houses in a town that was like a prison. And I was different now. Leaving was frowned upon. Sure, my friend Buddy was happy for me, but he was going to give me shit that I thought I was better than him. He married his 18-year-old girlfriend when he knocked her up, and here I was with a secret kid. Party boy, California dude. Shot down from the sky. Since when do you care what he thinks? I didn't care. And I never judged him or anyone. I should have brought Nicole first thing. I didn't care what they thought, but they'd think I lost my manners. And they'd all ride me because I'd knocked up a girl, like Buddy did. Like Dad did. They'd forgive me because I was like them. No matter what I said, the thought of that bothered me. I'd worked too hard to be better, do better, make more of myself. And I didn't care what they thought. But I did. I couldn't pull it apart. I was getting tense. I hated being tense. What's on your fucked up brain, Brad? Arnie asked after missing the seven. It'd taken too long to think about it. I forgot your birthday, I said. It's tomorrow. I leaned down to take my shot. Party then, right here, sunk the seven. But swear, Arnie. You keep your hands off the help. On my honor, dude. I nearly laughed out loud. Nicole's voice came from the kitchen as she ran into the billiards room. Daddy! She said the word like a demand, both feet planted. She had an open blue Sharpie in one hand, as if she'd been in the middle of drawing. Yes, sweetheart? Miss Blakely says we got invited to Sam's and Bonnie's? It took me a second to remember Sam and Bonnie were two of Mike and Lane's kids. If she says so. I want to wear this suit with the flower right here. She pointed to her neck, getting a blue dot on her chin. Arnie laughed and bent over the table. I put the pool cue down. Can I have that? I held my hand out for the marker. She twisted her whole body to keep it away from me. Nicole, Sharpie doesn't come out. Give it to me. She pursed her lips and held her chin out like a weapon. Did she get that stubborn pride from my side or Brenda's? I'd never know. Do you need help? Blakely asked from the doorway, reaching for the marker. If you take it, the whambulance is going to pull up. I held my hand out to stop her. I got it. Flipping my hand around, I put it out to my daughter. The pen. If you want to wear the bathing suit with the flower right here. I poked where she'd left the blue dot. She softened a little, but not much. Miss Kara and Miss Blakely hit it. Blakely cut in. It's a size 8. It looks like a shopping bag on her. I grew! She shot back at her nanny before turning to me and holding her hand up as far as it would go, the Sharpie wedged between thumb and forefinger. I'm so big, so big. Behind me, I heard clacking balls and the hollow sound of one of them sinking. I lost interest in Nine Ball and Arnie. I just wanted to see how big that suit was. Okay, big girl. Give me the marker and let's go take a look at the suit.
Pinky promise I can wear it.
I held my pinky out and Nicole hooked hers over mine.
How bad could it be?
She passed me the marker and I gave it to Blakely.
Nice work negotiating the hostage, sir,
she said, snapping the cap on. I winked at her and took Nicole to her room. I went to her dresser, but Kara and Blakely were lousy at hiding things because Nicole knew exactly where the bathing suit was. She scrambled under her bed and pulled out a blue zip-up bag with a handle.
It's in here.
Pulling the zipper around the top, she opened the flap. I recognized all the things my parents had bought before they met her and figured out her size. Too big, too small, wrong color, wrong cartoon. Kneeling next to the bag, she stuck one hand deep into it, wiggled, and came up with a pink, white, and blue one-piece with a poofy three-dimensional flower at the neck.
This one. See the flower? I want this one. It's not too big.
I held it up.
I caught myself. It's huge. It is not.
She snapped it away and stood so she could put it up against herself. The leg holes were halfway down to her knees. I took a closer look at it. It hadn't been in the stuff my parents bought. I remember.
Where did you get it? I asked. Mom bought it for me on sale. She said I could wear it.
Nicole hadn't come with much. A plastic bag with pony pie and some clothes. I'd never inventoried what was in the bag, but at that point, I would have let her wear a size 11 men's shoe if it came out of that bag. It had been all she had, and I wasn't going to deny her a single item. Well, if your mom thinks it's all right, I guess we'll figure it out. She clapped and jumped up and down, then flung herself around me, squeezing for all it was worth.
Mommy said I had a nice daddy. She said it, and she knew it, and I knew it.
She did. I sat on the bed, ready to hear more.
She did.
She put her hands on my cheeks and pressed in.
She said you were nice.
The worst word in the English language. I didn't remember if Brenda was subtle enough to know that nice could be a compliment or an insult. I didn't remember anything about her besides her smile.
What else did she say about Daddy? You lived far away, and you were the handsomest.
Harmless little lies, right? But inside them, I wondered if Brenda thought I was unfit to raise Nicole, and wanted nothing to do with me because I wasn't stable enough. She would have been right. She'd been right about a lot, and still, I didn't know her. I could have said a few dozen things Nicole wasn't ready to hear. That a lot had changed since I'd been with her mother. That I might have come for her, eventually. That I was actually not nice. Not nice at all, but I could be if I tried. I'm glad I met you, I said. I meant it. I was glad I could be there for her. I wouldn't be half the parent her mother was, but at least I could buy her bathing suits that fit, even if she didn't wear them. That had to be worth something.
You too, Daddy. Can we try it on? The suit. Let's try it on.
She ran to the bathroom to try on the huge bathing suit her mother promised she could wear.
Chapter 24. Kara.
We had a pool, Nicole had said to the lifeguard. In number 34.
34 was apparently her old apartment number. She wore a pink, white, and blue one-piece halter with a flower applique at the neck. She and her father insisted it fit. It didn't. Blakely and I jury-rigged an elastic belt from another suit, a few safety pins, and tight swim shorts into something weird but functional.
My mom taught me. Watch!
She jumped in, wiggled underwater while I held my breath, and popped up, doggy paddling her way to the edge. The lifeguard gave me the thumbs up, but I stayed in the water to watch anyway. Blakely and I were at the Graydons on a playdate. Her mother was really on top of it, Blakely said.
Yeah, like Superwoman. Did you know she took her to work? At Coffee Chain?
She'd stay in the cabinets if her mom couldn't get her a sitter. Honestly, her mother must have thought Brad was the worst of the worst, which is totally unfair, if you ask me. He's all right. Blakely peeled her socks off and put her feet in the pool. Behind her, Michael and Lane Graydon sat at the patio table with another couple.
Not for nothing, Blakely stretched her legs.
You're falling in love.
She's a nice kid is all.
I backed away from the kids to let them have fun. She asks the most wonderful questions, and I'm not talking about the kid, Blakely said softly. That was expected. You're powerless against children. It's Brad Sinclair. Being in the same house with that man was getting difficult. He constantly did an end run around Paula to sit with Nicole and me. He had a way of moving that made me think of sex. His good old boy routine hinted at a set of core values I could relate to. Even if he didn't live those values, I could almost, sometimes, in slivers of moments, kind of see it. Unless I was making it up in my head. He's attractive. I didn't look at her. She'd know I was lying. Any woman in America will tell you that. My denials felt hollow. If I couldn't convince myself I wasn't attracted to my boss, I wasn't going to convince Blakely. Once she heard about the shower, oh my God, that is so tacky, or undressing him while he asked me how I like to fuck, oh my God, that is so hot, I went for broke and told her about the dreams and morning fantasies. Oh my God, you've got it bad. And she decided something was going to happen between us, no matter how much I denied it. Just don't end up on the cover of a tabloid. She kicked a little spray of water. Not for screwing your boss. It's awful. Really awful. I'm a professional, I said, catching myself too late. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply you aren't. No, you are. I'm not. I sat in the limo last night thinking, I want to be an actress. I got sucked into this world because the money's good, but I can't do this anymore. I got up on the step. What do you mean? I think I have to quit. I don't know why I was surprised. Maybe it was the time and place, or the fact that she was telling me and not Paula. Maybe it was the fact that she wasn't reacting to getting a part, or a callback, or even a meeting. Are you sure? No, yes, no. She cringed, as if she thought I'd be mad. I know you went out of your way to get me this gig, and I appreciate it, but I saved up enough to get some stuff done. Just enough so I look different. Now I have to go do it. This plan you have, it's nuts. Totally crazy. I'm in a crazy situation. You're disfiguring yourself. Kara, don't be that way. Haven't you ever wanted anything so bad you'd do anything to get it? Ever? You should leave your lips alone. You have great lips. I'd kill for them. Fine. No lips. I had the sneaking feeling of being left behind. I was about to become what my friend Blakely used to be before she realized she wanted more out of life. Was it wrong that this was all I wanted? Taking care of children was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Nicole and her father, even if he was the most slippery slope I'd ever tried to climb. I'm sorry, she said. I need change, a lot of it. Don't be. I sat on the ledge next to her. I'm a big girl. I couldn't be angry, not outwardly. I couldn't blame her or demand more than she could give. When are you going to tell Paula? I asked. When I'm sure. Who even knows what she'll do? I don't trust her. If she calls Nicole a bombshell one more time, I'm going to break her face. Blakely, now, I cautioned her, but kind of agreed. In a nice way. Miss Kara, Miss Blakely, watch! Nicole was perched on the side of the pool. She bent her knees and dove in hands first. I clapped loudly for her. That little girl made it all worthwhile. I didn't know if I could leave her, not if Blakely was going, and I didn't know if I could stay. Chapter 25. Kara. We pulled up Brad's private street in the hills. The cars blocking the way irritated me more than they should have, and the music coming from the back may have seemed louder and more abrasive than it would have if Blakely hadn't just told me she was leaving. Paula said party, I said, but this is nuts. It's nothing. Come on. You've seen this before. I had. A million times. What surprised me was my own disappointment. I'd thought, based on small gestures and efforts, that he was trying. Obviously, I was wrong. A security guy approached my open window. Can I see your ID? he asked. I was ready to be annoyed, and his demand just did it. How do you work for Brad Sinclair and not know who we are? Blakely leaned over me. Ignore her. Here's my license, and this is Nicole Sinclair in the back. She turned to the back seat. Say hi, Nicole. Nicole held up Pony Pie and waved her. Hi. A Maserati pulled up close behind me, but the guard wasn't moving. He looked at Blakely's license, then her. He flipped through his clipboard while she tried to hold back a smirk.
Hang on.
He went to the booth. It's the hair, she said. Maybe you don't need plastic surgery.
Or it'll just make it so much easier.
The security guard checked Nicole against a photo on a different clipboard, then me and Blakely before he let us in. Deep breath. I breathed deeply, getting out of the car, getting my bag out, locking the door. It wasn't helping. I didn't know why I was so wound up.
I'll take Nicole in, Blakely said, hoisting the girl's swimming bag.
Then I have an audition. I'm staying out tonight. All right, I'll meet you. I went in the side entrance, all pretense of calm shattered completely by the sound of grunting behind the hedge separating the parking space.